Welcome back to Women Making Moves, where we celebrate the moves that women are making. My name is Amy Pons, founder of Unlock the Magic, Coaching, Healing, and Magic School. I'm joined today with Alexa Starks. Alexa is a maternity leave coach, award-winning workplace culture innovator, and founder of Executive Moms. With a background in organizational leadership and over a decade in high-performance corporate environments spanning advertising, strategic operations, and leadership, and as the mother of two toddlers, Alexa reshapes how professionals experience maternity leave and return to work. Her workshop and coaching frameworks support individuals, managers, and organizations across industries in building parent-forward systems that retain talent and reduce burnout. Executive Moms recently published the Future of Working Motherhood 2026 report that looked at working moms' actual experience navigating maternity leave, the return to work, and how workplaces can better support them. Alexa, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. I'm so excited to be here and talk with you.
I am too. Thanks for all your work. One of the things I often say about coaches, and I'm a energy life coach and, well, whatever anybody wants to call me, but certified life coach, but I'm a corporate executive veteran as well. And nice. So I feel that in this space and time, coaches, and particularly coaches who understand their feminine energy, and that's not specific to gender, but it's primarily women, just because that's innate to us. But the coaches that understand their feminine energy are actually the ones out here in the world filling the gaps of society, leadership, workplace, wherever, all of the world, creating the balance we've never seen in this lifetime because the old paradigm is deconstructing.
And it needs to. It needs to be deconstructed actively.
And what's interesting right now is that a lot of the quote unquote stuff that's really harmful, that like hurts right now. The hard part about that is that the most privileged need to feel inconvenience before any big systemic change starts to happen. That's my view on it.
Yep.
And so of course we're seeing more and more things or unfoldings or events that were like, how is this happening right now in this time and place? Well, it's meant to. So that doesn't mean that I'm giving it a pass or that I understand it, or like that it's like, oh, it's all fine. No, I'm not saying it's fine. I'm saying that I understand why it has to unfold the way it is.
Yeah. And I talked to my husband about this a lot, that the system needs to crumble. It needs to break down so that we can fix it and rebuild it better. Because
not
as
even
it is,
fix it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not even fix it. Burn it the fuck down. Down. So that we can actually take the ashes and bury them, give them back to Mother Earth. And then we can actually create what is meant for all humans.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a hot button for me.
It is. I love it though.
Oh my gosh. So that's what is for me. And I couldn't have, by the way, Alexa, I could not have reached this type of understanding when I was in corporate because I was deep into the copy paste old paradigm personally. So I didn't see it or feel it yet. It took me, I'm 43, almost 44. And it took me my entire life to actually understand. And it was like when I turned 40, it was like the moment I turned 40, I fell out of bed with vertigo. And I was like, oh, my world flipped. Literally. And I was like, oh, I don't want this anymore, this whole thing. And it, and you can imagine, I'm sure you appreciate this. You can imagine when you wake up one day feeling that way and you're like, I can't possibly do anything about it because we're not taught or fostered to do that or to feel differently or, you know, against the systems that trained us. So anyway.
Yeah. I love that. No, that's so, I love hearing other women have that aha moment because we need to be really attuned and self-aware to pick up on that. My aha moment happened once I had my kids. Like I was in the corporate hamster wheel. I was working early, working late. I was proud of my overwork, proud to burn out. And then I had my two kids in corporate and I was like, I don't give a shit about my job anymore. I don't care about making money for somebody else. None of this is meaningful. None of this is impactful. None of this is important. And what I want to do, I want to make an impact and make the world better for other women, other moms, and my children. And that was my aha moment.
Yay. Good for you. I love so much. What's interesting is, and as we shared before I hit record, I'm one of those women who has chosen not to have human children. And it's for various, various reasons. And I'm proud of myself and my husband for us coming to this decision and not forcing something that we actually were on docket to try to do because that's what you were supposed to do. And then we were like 6 months into our marriage, we're like, wait, do we want kids? And so, of course, the trope, it's like, oh, you don't like kids. I'm like, okay. I have nieces and nephews. I love them to pieces. It's just not something that in my own space, I didn't feel like a hell yes. And so my view is if you don't feel that, then don't do it. Don't force yourself. But when I was in corporate, I was the leader of the Women's Employee Resource Group. And one of the things that we were very troubled with was that we were finding that women would come back from maternity leave and then leave the company, the organization. And we were like, what is going on? And by the way, if it was her decision, that's amazing. If it was for other reasons, but what was troubling, we found it was because they didn't feel supported when they got back. And so what we as a Women's Employee Resource Group created was a mentorship program within the ERG for women that return from maternity. So you would buddy with someone specifically the first 3 months back so that you would get caught up on all the who's its, what's its, nuts its, whether it's like politics, whether it's a new Outlook feature, just like the most silly or big kind of things. And our retention of women coming back from maternity leave skyrocketed from that
Good for
because they
you.
felt supported. And by the way, again, if they wanted to leave still after that because they were like, oh, I don't want to do this, kind of like you did. Awesome. But I just wanted to make sure it wasn't because they didn't feel supported when they came back. So that's
That's
what
huge.
that's a big difference we made and I'm so proud of. It's amazing how, especially when you're home with the new love of your life for how many amount of time and you come back and you feel insecure about something, you're like, well, what's the point of this? Why am I here? Like I could be home with this child, you know. So
I love that. And that's honestly the exact statistic we found. So in our report that we published, The Future of Working Motherhood, we did find that 40% of women left their job within a year after coming back from maternity leave. 40%. That's alarmingly high. And of those 40% of women who left, 60% went to another company. 40% actually just left to start their own business because they wanted that flexibility. It was all because they felt no support. They had no transition plan or ramp-up plan coming back from maternity leave to ease back in. They had postpartum depression or anxiety and had no support. They didn't feel confident talking to their manager and asking for help. So all of these things, and they're expected to be at 100% on day one, and there's no communication, there's misassumptions, and there's just no support. And so I love that you had that you created that resource for moms, because that retention, and that's a free thing. Like, it's
That's
not this
well,
rocket science investment that you did. It
exactly.
was just support.
And the mentors were actually moms that had been on maternity leave in the past and came back. So they knew exactly what the women were going through. Like I personally, I was never a mentor because I didn't know, I didn't understand. So we really were intentional about how we created that as well. And so to your point, the easing back in, we found the first week was one of the toughest because they were experiencing separation anxiety. They were struggling with their milk or their, you know, something, there was something happening. And so that buddy, that mentor was always there, like on call for them. We'd gotten even deeper. We went to the managers of the mentors and we're like, this is their job this week. And they're like, cool. You know, it was
That's
like
amazing.
their main role. So anyway, I digress. But like that's to your point, it was free. It was something that was beautiful and loving and caring and that women just genuinely wanted to do for each other.
Love that. We need more of that.
So tell us more. Yeah, this is what first drew me to you. I was like, oh, let's talk more about this.
The Future of Working Motherhood, that's the report that we put out.
The Future of Working Motherhood. Thank you so much. And I want to hear all the things. I don't expect you to read the report. I'll link it everywhere to make sure everybody can know where this is at. But I imagine that I want to reference two things that are top of mind for me. 2025, over 1 million women were ousted from the workplace, 600,000 Black women specifically. And then also the McKinsey report that gets me pretty fired up. There is no fucking ambition gap. And I feel like they did that to get, it's like clickbait. And it was like, that sucks because that's more of the same old of what's fueling all of this nonsense and where it's deterring where we're trying to get to. So it's annoying. Don't do that. So I just want to reference those two things that are top of mind for me as I see your data as well.
Yeah, so the McKinsey report actually came out, I think maybe it was exactly 2 weeks or 3 weeks before our report came out, and totally coincidental timing on that. I honestly had no idea that their
There
report
are
was
no
coming out.
coincidence. There are no
There are no
coinc I'm
coincidences.
so glad yours came out that was like, okay, this nonsense. Here's a really.
Yes, it was so universally perfectly timed, I would say then, because our report, it did look at ambition and that mothers said that they were more ambitious or equally as ambitious after having kids than they were before kids. There was no dip or loss in ambition. There was no decrease in career drive. In fact, it was the opposite. And so the feedback and the comments from other women and moms across social media was just this huge resonating moment of finally feeling seen, and finally there's data that backs how I'm feeling. And it was so powerful because it was exactly how I felt when I got pushed out and sidelined. Like, no, I want to be more and do more. And I have ambition, but you're sidelining me. And so, yeah, so the report showed women are more ambitious. They go through identity shifts and they have to come through it. And it takes a while, it's not immediate. They need space to figure out what they want to dive back into for careers. Maybe they want to move horizontally, right? Do a lateral move. Maybe they're more passionate about something else. Maybe they want to take on more leadership track, right? So they need the space and the flexibility to do all of it. But yeah, the McKinsey report was fabulously timed, I would
I can't with that. And yeah, to your point, like we talked about, the McKinsey report was an amazing catalyst to bring forth more of the truth, like you did. So I
Yes.
try to weigh that, but I felt this fire from my sacral chakra just like erupt because it just makes me so angry to feel
Yes.
that women are less ambitious. It's just silly. It's just nonsense. So what's so fascinating about that, I love that you say women need the space. I can't tell you how many women I've talked to, so many women in this past month, let's say, have said to me, and these high octane executive women, they're like, you know what I want to go do? I want to go do something like with my hands for a little bit, or I want to go somewhere. I want to just go be a barista, or like, and that's no offense to baristas and that they have stress in their own right, but I'm seeing this shift. I'm curious if you saw anything about this in the data where there is an element of what do you want to call it? Burnout in this space and time. Women and people of color are continuously seeing, especially now with the overarching pass from the administration saying you don't have to hire women and people of color anymore. And oh, by the way, you can be really authentic about that. And people are like, okay, cool. And organizations are like, bye. With that being said, there's such a pinch right now because that element that people don't have to hide, that they don't want women or people of color in the workplace anymore, they're being pretty forward about it. And so women are like, I just want my package. I just want like a severance. And like, I want to go do something easy for a little bit or something that gives me some income, but helps me heal and deconstruct all that I've experienced for the past however many years. And what's interesting about me is I said today's my last day 3 years ago from corporate America, and I started my own business for the past 3 years, coaching, healing, magic school. And it took me this long to realize, oh, wait, I miss doing stuff with my hands. And so I got this part-time gig at a retail, and it's fun for me because it gets me out of the house and I like to use like working with my hands. It took me this long to kind of realize that. And I was like, cool, but it gets to be something that I get to do on the side easy while I run my business.
I think that's the creativity. I think that's maybe using the other side of your brain that we don't get to do in our day-to-day corporate job, where you can express yourself emotionally, verbally, mentally in a different way. And it's so like a whole different outlet of release that we didn't even know we needed. Like I do that with writing. I love to actually like physically write.
Physically write out. Yes. Well, and beautifully, Alexa, you'll love this. As I entered my part-time gig, there was an incident with an insecure man in the workplace, and he bullied me and tried to push me out. And it happened immediately, like literally my first day. And I was like, okay, here we go. And I was telling my husband's like, how does this happen to you in every workplace? I'm like, welcome to being a woman. Like, it's like he's just
It's everywhere.
flabbergasted. And it's everywhere. It's every workplace. It's every woman. And so this time I stood in my light. I laid boundaries and I was like, this is not happening. And
Good for you. I
thank
love
you.
that. That's amazing.
And I tried so hard in my corporate workplace to do that, but I became the problem when I did that. I'm grateful for the gift of this experience so that it could show me and show my entire energy and my body that I'm this goddess that is invoking change wherever I go.
Yeah, that's amazing. But so many people, so many women don't know how to push back like that.
I didn't either.
And the system, especially in corporate America, the system will make you think that it's unacceptable behavior to do that, and you'll be fired on the spot. And so it reinforces the conditioning of if you speak up, if you push back, you are a problem. And they protect that manager. You're not a good culture fit suddenly.
Ew. Get out of here with that. So, about the data. Is there something that maybe you were expecting to find that you didn't? And I'll pause there.
Expected to find that the request that would be a bigger impact on their overall working motherhood experience would be longer maternity leave and paid. And that wasn't the biggest request for systemic working motherhood overall longevity was flexible design, flexible work design. Paid maternity leave or any sort of leave request for longer leave was much smaller percentage because it's such a fraction of the time that you are a working mom that the overall impact to your working motherhood experience is going to be impacted more by flexibility. And so that was unexpected. I actually thought more moms would want longer leave because in the US you get like maybe 6 weeks, 12 weeks, like it's all over the board and you just basically crapshoot if you're lucky. But yeah, I tried not to go into it with too many like expectations as a researcher that's kind of leading bias or assumptions. And but yeah, that was unexpected. And it was regardless of how long women had taken leave for, whether it was for 6 weeks or 12 weeks or 6 months or even a year that they took for maternity leave, that's still the biggest request that would have the biggest impact on working motherhood sustainability was flexible design, flexible work design. So remote, hybrid, part-time, all of that flexibility that comes with working was the biggest request. And that was unexpected, but it makes sense now that I think about it.
And is there a data point that you were like, hell yeah, validated?
Oh, the ambition, by
Yeah,
far, the
right?
ambition.
It's
Because
like
in my mind, I was like, when I was thinking about it, I was like, I would think other moms are equally as ambitious than every other mom I'm talking to. And so just seeing the huge statistic, and then the 97%. 97% of moms said they would stay in their job if they were truly supported. 97%. And yet 40% actually left their job.
So they feel like they
So,
can't.
exactly.
Right.
So, almost every single mom is like, I want to stay, but I can't. Almost half,
Right.
I can't. So, that was another shocking one.
And let's talk logistics for a few minutes. Who'd you talk to? How'd you find the women?
Oh, they are working moms. On social media, mostly LinkedIn, I would say,
Was it
other different moms.
global or just
It
US?
is global, but it was 85% US.
Okay. Because I was going to say, like, Europe has year long, which is awesome. Or like
Some
more.
countries. Yeah. So it's about 85% in the US. And that's why, still seeing that statistic of regardless of how long they had for leave, flexible work design was still the biggest request. They were across LinkedIn, a little bit on Instagram. And different mom groups that I posted
Cool.
in, different perinatal resource groups that I'm part of. So, yeah.
Great. Well, and part of the I'm seeing from the old paradigm is that this return to office mandate, everything. When we say flexible, we're not asking for the moon. It's like I've talked to a lot of moms and they're just like wanting to get off maybe a half hour or hour earlier or leave at 3, pick up their kids and then finish the day from home. That's the kind of stuff that we're not able to flex on, like really. Like that tells me how much control that the old paradigm is clinging on by their fingernails. Let me step outside of gender for a second. The feminine energy, again, the matriarchy, is what is rising right now to create the balance we've never seen. And of course, the old paradigm skewed in the patriarchy is going to be in overdrive, trying to force and hold on. And that's what we keep seeing. But this isn't a new issue. This has been going on for how long? Since the beginning of time.
A long time. Yeah. And you're right. We're not asking for crazy rocket science. We're not asking for extraordinary measures. Most of the time, like you said, it's like, hey, my school gets out at 3. I gotta pick up my kids at 3. They can't just be around like on their own You know, and
I've
so it's like I
specifically
need,
known managers, they're like, no, just
yeah.
no.
And then it's like you got to figure out after school care. How do you get them to after school care? Not everyone has family nearby. So it's like, do they take the bus? So it's just so many logistics. And so it's like, all I'm asking is to go pick up my kids at 3 and then maybe check back in online after bedtime, or, you know, from 4 to 5, check back in online. And it's all over the board of options of what you could do. And there's really no excuse because today you have all these different asynchronous tools you can use to track your progress in your work, like Monday.com or Asana or ClickUp or Trello or even Microsoft Project. So there's all of these offline tools that you can use to say, hey, I worked on XYZ. All the work that I needed to do for today got done. I just had to pick it back up after 7:30 or whatever and finish it up for an hour. So there's, in my mind, in my opinion, no good excuse for the return to office mandates, especially for rigid inflexibility of not being able to leave.
I would actually love to talk to some of these rigid people in charge. I love that word, rigid people in charge. And I
Yeah.
genuinely want to like hear from their perspective. Why? Because as a people leader myself, and I had a team of 150 people, and I would be like, listen, y'all, I don't care when you work. I just care
Yep.
what you do and like that we're meeting goals. Otherwise, I genuinely don't care. I'm not trying to keep track of you. I got stuff to do. So
I was the
I
same way.
Right. And so like I really do would want to talk, and I imagine, well, I know some, you do too, these rigid folks, they likely, well, they hold a deep insecurity about themselves. And so they don't feel good about the work they're doing. So their work becomes holding other people accountable when they don't need to. That's what I feel is happening, but I haven't talked to anyone like that in a long time, so I don't want to assume, but that's what I imagine is happening.
I think it's definitely a reflection on them and their lack of leadership. If you don't think your people are able to do their job without you looking over their shoulder, that's a reflection on your lack of training them properly on how you need to be in control. That's your control issues. That's go to therapy and talk to somebody, right? Their
Get a coach,
issues,
get an
get a
energy coach to
coach.
like, I'm gonna dig deep and be like, where's that come from? Where do you feel that in your body? How do you feel? Like, where do you feel unsafe? Help me understand what makes you feel unsafe right now. 'Cause that's what I feel that they feel unsafe. So it's like, okay, can you imagine if every person in charge began to feel safe?
I know. It'd be a lot.
It'd be amazing. I mean, I'd go back in, would you? I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I love being out here in the wild supporting women of the world that are
Yeah,
remembering who the
same.
fuck they are. So,
Yep.
what moves are you excited to be making right now, Alexa, as you head into deeper into 26? You have this amazing data. What's coming up for you?
Two things. Oh, I guess maybe one big thing. Okay. Two things. The first is I'm doing a TED Talk in April, and it's very much on the subject of I'm going to decide how human I'm allowed to be at work, not set by someone else. I'm not going to let some leadership CEO culture decide how I need to hide parts of myself, but I'm going to decide how much of myself I bring to work, to the table, to the room, allowed for everyone. And it's leading with compassion, noticing the humanity. So anyways, that's my TED Talk in April. I'm very excited about it.
Where is that? Where is it going to be?
It's going to be in Rotterdam in the Netherlands.
Amazing.
Yes, because that's where I live, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes, we moved a couple months ago from Dallas to the Netherlands to escape
I'm
the
jealous.
system.
I'm jealous.
And
Cool. So we can't wait for
yes,
that. Will it go online? We can see
it
it.
will.
Okay.
Yep, it'll be on YouTube.
Okay. I love that because again, as an energy healer and coach, that's what I'm helping people to remember and understand. How do you feel genuinely first? And having that moment of discernment to say, is this mine or is this something I learned? And you get to put it down if it's not something that's you. But so many people, I'm not sure if you find it, Alexa, but like I was hardwired not to find that for 20 years. You asked me that 5 years ago, I'd be like, I don't know. I have
The
no idea.
conditioning is strong. Like, we have been conditioned strongly since childhood. You have so much more power than you think you do,
Bingo.
and you just have to find it.
Yeah, and it's spoiler alert, hint for anyone looking for their truth center. understanding more about the chakras, in my experience, was the way in, because then I started to understand more about my sacral, which is where my womb is and where my ancestors live. There's literally thousands of women around me at all times because I'm the cycle breaker. Solar plexus, which is your gut, and then your heart. Your truth center is somewhere in there. So that's where you start if you don't know how to find it.
I love that. I love
And
that.
what's the second one?
The second thing is we're launching a magazine called Mothered Magazine, and it's all about empowering working moms and giving working moms a voice and a platform to spotlight their strength and power and how their ambition and their motherhood is the center, and all of it needs more awareness to break that narrative about working moms and that 40% who don't feel supported. We need to be more vocal and be more visible and loud with how our motherhood gives us strength and our motherhood drives our ambition. And we are a better leader and worker and person and human because we are moms. And there's no platform right now that is truly just for working mothers. There's all these Forbes 40 under 40 or Fast Company or Inc.'s like top leaders 500 list, but none of them in any interview are like, because I'm a mom, I did this, or I started a business because of my experience as a mom, or I wanted to change the world, so I'm doing this. And or my I decided to climb the career ladder because I can be better for my kids. And so it's a platform to give that spotlight to other working moms. And so I'm very excited. We have our first issue coming out this spring, and it'll be a quarterly magazine, but actually there's a lot more push for it. So it may move to monthly because there's so many
Amazing.
people interested in it.
I
But
bet.
it'll be coming out in April for our first issue called Mothered Magazine. It's very important to me that there are diverse voices and diverse industries that women are in.
Yeah. That's
Great.
exciting. That's so exciting. Even though I'm not a mom, I don't think it matters. Like I'm a woman and
Allies,
I
women are
support.
all allies.
I'm an ally for moms. Amazing. So I want to go to a post that you made on LinkedIn that I loved, besides the one that introduced me to your data. Big, what the fuckery is this? They'd consider making the day after the Super Bowl a formal holiday to recover, but they won't pass a standard maternity leave yet? How is it okay that it's been normalized to lie and call in sick because you party too hard? Yet when working moms need flexibility or have to take their own sick day to take care of their kids, they get penalized and their commitment and capabilities questioned. It's not all just fun and games. The hypocrisy here is loud. I'm all for flexible work design and agree workplaces shouldn't fall apart when people need to take a day off, but there's a bigger priority than because you party too hard on a Sunday and need to recover. What do you think? Ah! I was like, okay, Alexa, get it.
So funny.
Tell me about this.
That was like a weekend rambling one. Every now and then I'll post on the weekends. Like, I think I posted something this past weekend and it like blows up with thousands and thousands of impressions. And that was one of them too, because I saw that one. I think I reposted it, but it was
From
like from
LinkedIn News.
LinkedIn. And I was like, wait a second, we're just normalizing lying to get a day off. God forbid a woman tries to leave at 3 o'clock to pick up her kids and she's gonna get fired or her career derailed or sidelined for a promotion or judged or questioned. Like, Jesus, the hypocrisy. It made me so angry. So, yeah, that was one of those like rage tweets. I don't tweet, but that was like a rage post where I was just like, what the
More of this energy, Alexa. More of this energy. This is
fuck is
what
this?
it takes to burn it the fuck down. To say, like,
Yes.
okay, what the fuckery?
Yep. What the fuckery?
As we start to wind down, Alexa, what would you say? And I'm going to quote your data. What would you say to both the 97%, but also the 40%? Because it seems like there's a little bit of a crux there. What would you share with both? And then maybe if there's an overlapping message too.
So I would say the 97% of women who want to stay is figure out what's unacceptable and figure out where your line in the sand is. If someone crosses that, if you're starting to get burnt out, what's no longer acceptable that you are worth sacrificing time with your children or your mental health or sanity for? And then to the 40% that leave, figure out what you're passionate about and do that. Because if you can do a tiny bit of impact in the world and do something you're passionate about, it makes life worth it. Even if that's spending time with your kids and being a stay-at-home mom. Do what you love, and every day you'll love it.
That's it. I mean, and I think a lot of people in general are like, that's a rose-colored glasses view. Not all of us can do that, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. I don't doubt that you have very real physical life experiences or responsibilities that keep you from just making a leap or like saying that I'm going to do this or that, but also, and consider how much of that immediate no is from the conditioning. And if you can, by any degree, challenge yourself and say, is that true in the court of law of me that I absolutely cannot without question? And if you consider asking yourself that and you were able to consider, okay, not today, but maybe in 4 months or just
Yes, it's
do
that season. Like
something.
maybe not today, but could you start a business doing something you love and work whatever crappy job that you don't like doing now? And then in a year from now, have something you can go to and pivot to, right? So it's all seasons, not now, but when.
I love that. If not now, when? And a lot of times with women I serve, it's not today. We're actually building the bridge toward their future self that can and will. And then it becomes, I am. It's
I
awesome.
love that. Yeah.
So, Alexa, where can we find your amazing data? And where can we find you and support your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So my website is executivemoms.co. That's .co. And the report is on the website, The Future of Working Motherhood. And then you can connect with me on Instagram. My personal page is alexa.starks, or on LinkedIn. It's my name, Alexa Starks. I'm all over it.
Closing remarks as we wrap up.
Honestly, I feel like tap into your feminine strength. Tap into your feminine resilience. Life is going to have its challenges, its ups and downs. As a mom, I've become more resilient and strong than I ever thought possible. And I know that's part of just the natural woman in me, but I couldn't access it until I became a mom. But you are much stronger and much more capable and much more resilient than you think you are. And so if you push yourself and challenge yourself, you can reach more of your capabilities.
Thanks, Alexa.
Thank you, Amy.